I was on a rugby field, and we have a special thing with lots of families and face painting and lots of stuff like that last week, and that was really, really great fun. And while I was there, I was also know that some of the children and some of the mums and dads coming into the tent really probably were thinking to themselves, well, what are we coming for? What are we going to learn? What is this all about? What are these Christians doing? So I'm going to show you a few things rather than actually just talk. And this is, be honest, I think some of the adults are probably grateful of this as well, because they love it when it's more aimed to you guys that are a bit younger. So I'm going to try and aim it at you younger ones. But I know that the older folks, people my age and a bit younger, will also learn. Hopefully we'll learn something. Now, some of these things you may have seen before. I particularly love this one, but I'm going to use this as an opening illustration. In my bag, I have got a... Well, you can tell me what it is. What is it? A Bible. And when I showed this on Wet Thursday to the children, and they said, you could see their faces, they almost dropped, and they thought, oh, it looks really, really, really boring. And it does, doesn't it, really? It's not very colourful, and so they were thinking, and the Bible, what, I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to do it in three ways. I'm going to read it from the Bible, because I think it's important to read the Bible. I'm going to do that in a minute, and we'll have some pictures behind. But I'm also then going to tell the story, and then we're going to think about it for a few minutes this morning. Okay, so we've got a Holy Bible, and many of the people there, maybe you've come along and you're thinking, well, there's not very much in the Bible. Maybe you go, what do you call when they go out normally, King's Kids, or what's it called? Sea Kids. Sea Kids. Oh, fantastic. Very good. So you go out, and you know those who go to Sea Kids. Sea Kids, have I got that right? Sea Kids meaning Chelsea Kids. Yeah, I've got you. Okay, it follows. You know that you learn some stories. Well, many people, when they look at the Bible, they actually don't think it's anything at all. They actually think the Bible is the most dreary, boring book, because what's it all about? I read the Bible this morning before I came along here. I'm reading some really difficult bits in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible. But even I know, and I know all my life, that the Bible isn't empty. It's got a lot of amazing things from it. So you're going to help me here this morning, because it's all about participation and helping. So I want you to do something. But I want you to draw something. Now, you've been doing Elijah. So those who've been doing Elijah and Sea Kids, can you draw me a story? And mums and dads can help out as well here. Okay? I want you to draw me a story of something to do with Elijah. Okay? So I'm going to draw a little sort of... Can you do this for me? Get your finger. Get your writing finger or your pointy finger. That's the one. I want you to draw something. That's it. Fantastic. That's lovely. Now, I'm going to draw a little sort of rocks. There's 12 rocks there. And there's a bit of fire coming out of it. Some of you know the story there from Elijah. But you can draw any picture you want from the Bible. You could do David and Goliath. You can do a big whale or a big fish, if you like, to get it accurate. Okay, I want you to do that. Right, you got it? Now, I want you to do something with your hand next. Now you've drawn it in the air, I want you to catch it. You ready? So when you catch it, after three. One, two, three, catch it. Fantastic. Now, what I want you to do after three is I want you to throw it at my Bible. Because people don't think it's much in the Bible. We're going to find out there's an awful lot in the Bible. We're going to read the story from the Bible in just a second. Ready? One, two, three. Fantastic. Brilliant. I want to see that we are missing, that there's so much in the Bible. Let's come a bit closer so you can hear in the mic. And we open the Bible and we discover that the Bible is full of stories and stories and stories. But what I want you to discover today, that these stories aren't just good stories. He alone is God. We're learning things about that. But also that they affect us today. They help us in our lives today. So, do me a favour, all right? I want you to go back to your picture, put it back up in the air. That's it, put it there, fantastic. And I want you now to take some colouring pencils, and I want you to colour your picture in. Oh, fantastic. Make sure you don't go over the lines. Be very, very careful. That's it, really, really good. Colour in those flames if you've done that. That's brilliant. Or that big giant sword, or whatever you've drawn, that's brilliant. Colour it in. Okay, after three, catch it. One, two, three, great picture. And after three, throw it at my Bible. One, two, three, go! Oh, fantastic, okay. Now, we want to find out today that these aren't just stories we're going to hear that are good stories to remember, but stories that can help us live our lives. Ready? So the Bible is actually about stories that change our lives completely. And these are the story, and the story I'm going to read to you today. So it doesn't matter what other people say, it's the Bible is not an empty book. It's actually full of stories that change our lives completely. So I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you. I'll get my clicker. I'm going to read it to you, then I'm going to tell the story again. Because it's good for you to hear that the story tells in the Bible. And this is, if you like, is a man called Luke. No, a man called Mark. That's his name. And Mark is telling us a story that his friend Peter, who was with Jesus, had actually told him about. And this is how the story goes. Now, hopefully, at the same time, we've got some pictures. I'm going to come a little bit to the side so I can see how the pictures go. So this is the story, and it's found in Mark's Gospel. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, that's the name of a town, the people heard that he'd come home. And they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. Look how full the house is. And he preached the word, that means he told them about the Bible, told them about God to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, means he couldn't walk, and carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, or digging through the roof, and then lowered the mat and the man that was lying on. There he is, coming down. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fella talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus immediately knew in his spirit, in his heart, that this is what they were thinking in their heart. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is it easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man, "I tell you, take up your mat and go home." And he got up and he took his mat and walked out in the full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Now that's the story, but let's see if we can tell it in a slightly different way. And let's see if we can tell it in the way as if you're pretending we were the friends that are bringing this man to Jesus. Let me just get something else from my back, dude. That's fantastic. Okay, so I want to show you it using this little card, okay? So I want you to imagine this. The only thing you've got to participate is remembering that that number is a number 4. Fantastic. Every time you see that, it's a 4. Oh, fantastic. Okay, there was a man who lay on his bed every day, and his legs didn't work. He lay there, he was paralyzed. And he was very, very sad. But the good thing was, he had 4 friends. And these 4 friends didn't like their friend lying on the bed every day and whose legs didn't work. And so he actually said, "We're going to take him to see Jesus." So very carefully, they carried him, picked him up, and they carried him to see Jesus. When they got to the house that Jesus lived, oh, by the way, in those that countries, houses don't look like that. They look like that, okay? So when they got to where Jesus was, not in that house, but in this house, they realized it was so full that they actually couldn't get their friend who lay on the bed every day, whose legs didn't work. How many friends were there? Fantastic. They couldn't take him to see Jesus. But they noticed at the side of that house, there were some stairs that went up. And as they went up the side of the stairs, they could take their friend up onto the flat roof. And that's exactly what they did. They very carefully carried their friend up the stairs onto the flat roof of the house. And then they did something really, really strange. They thought, "How are we going to get Jesus to see our friend? Our friend to see Jesus?" So what they began to do, they began to make a little hole, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger until the hole was so big that they could put their heads through and they could look down and see Jesus below in the house as Jesus was telling people about God. And Jesus must have looked up to see where they were, and he saw how many? 4 friends looking down through the hole. And then they did something amazing. They lowered their friend using a rope down through the hole in the roof. So he lay at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus looked down at the man. Then he looked up at the men looking down through the roof. And he said to the man lying on the floor, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And you know, when he said that, the crowd began to mutter. They began to talk, blah, 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 something like that. And they said, "Nobody can do that. Only God can forgive sins. What's he saying?" Jesus said, "I'm going to fix what's inside your heart before I fix what's outside you." And then Jesus said, "Which is it easier to do? Is it easier for me to say, 'Get up and walk,' or is it easier for me to say, 'I'm going to fix you on the inside and forgive your sins'? But just to show you that I can fix this man's legs," he then turned to the man and he said, "and I can forgive this man's sins." He then turned to the man and said, "Get up and walk." Well, how many friends? The four friends looking down through the hole in the roof couldn't believe their eyes. And slowly, their best friend began to get up. Slowly and very slowly tottered to his feet and onto his legs. And he staggered at first, but then they got stronger. And not just stronger, he began to jump up and down. He was so, so happy. And then they realized that Jesus must be who he said he was. He could forgive sins because he'd made this man walk again. And then Jesus said something really interesting. He said to the man, "Now I want you to go home. Take your bed and go home." So the man lifted up his bed, folded over, put it on his shoulder, and off he went home. You know, boys and girls, that story is great because it helps us, just like our magic book tried to show us, it tries to help us see not only the story, but how this story comes alive. And so we can think about things. Let's just have a quick think of the four different types of people in our story. Let's think of the friends, those four friends, first of all. I think we can learn something from that, can't we? These four friends so cared for their friend that they wanted him to meet Jesus. And I've got a very simple thought for us. It's not just for the children here, for all of us, that, you know, the best way we can ever be a friend, and God wants us to be friends and to care for one another and to look after those around us in our families, in our community, but the best way is, of course, what these four friends did. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? They learnt to take their friend who had a need to see Jesus. And I think that's a good lesson for us to learn as well. Remember that little lesson? If we're a friend, we will actually want to introduce our friends to seeing Jesus. Now, when I was younger, I must admit, it was stupid, really, when I think back. But I think God must have smiled when he saw me do it. When I was a little bit younger, no, quite a lot younger, I actually got an old police jacket and a funny trilby hat. This shows how long ago it was. A little funny hat. And I sewed badges all over this police jacket saying, "Smile, God loves you, one way, Jesus," and all that. And I wandered around the streets. Now that was, I guess it was a bit strange, if I'm honest. I'm not saying you should do that. But what I am saying is, when someone asks us, "What did you do on Sunday?" Or when someone asks you, "What do you like doing with your time?" Or "What do you like reading?" Then that's a great way of telling people about Jesus. That's the first lesson. The second lesson, you know, there are sometimes people in that story, they were grumbling and groaning, and they say, "No, we don't like what Jesus is saying. We don't believe what Jesus is saying." It's almost as if, just like in that first one, we actually think they thought the Bible, there was nothing in the Bible, nothing in the Bible at all. And why do we bother? Why do we bother going along to church? Why do we bother reading the Bible? Why do we bother going to seek it? Well, we know in that story, we began to find the fact that Jesus has answers to questions in our life. And it's not just questions about what did Elijah do up on the mountain. It's questions about how does that affect me today? God alone. He alone is God. What does that mean if Jesus or God alone is God? So I think it's really important to ask questions. And that's why some of you are a little bit older than younger. You have got questions too. It was great having Adam with me last week on the Royal Welsh Show 2 weeks ago now, wasn't it? Because Adam was great at sitting down on tables, talking to people who had questions. And he would ask them questions so that they could begin to understand something more about Jesus. Because we've all got questions. When we used to bed at night, Adam won't mind me saying this, we weren't far away from one another in the tent. We left all the very young ones down the other end making their rowdy noise. And he would ask me some questions because that's how we learn. I don't think I answer all these questions, but I tried, because that's what's good about questions. The third thing, and the third one, I need some help here. I need two people to come and help me up front, okay? We've got one. That's fantastic. Come and join me. And we've got two. Oh, fantastic. Now, I'm going to have to learn some names here. What is your name? Henry and Gracie. Well, Henry and Gracie are going to help me. I'll try and be nice and loud, because I'm going to have to walk a little bit. No, I'll try and use my mic in just a second. But first of all, I'm going to give you a little bit of rope here. Can you do this for me? Henry, you want to take that end of the rope, and you can go a little bit over that direction. Actually, let's get you up on the stage, shall we? Watch you don't trip over my bag. That's fine. Gracie, if you can take the other end of the rope without tripping up Henry, that'll be really, really good. Fantastic. That's good, good, good. Because I think we've got something else we can learn in this story, and it's a really, really important part of the story, because it's a bit about that they didn't understand what Jesus said as well. So I think we can help learn it from the rope here, okay? I hope it will actually work. Because Jesus says to the man, all the bad things in your life that you say, think and do, God forgives you, you know? Your sins are forgiven. Now, how could Jesus say that? Well, we know, because you sang it earlier, because we sang about him being our friend, is that Jesus was going to die for those bad things in our lives. But how could Jesus say that? And we've got some skipping going on at the moment. That's fantastic. So we're going to try and understand this for a moment, okay? So anyway, see, to get myself my scissors. You have to grow it nice there. That's really good. I'm going to come and you can. I'll do the bit of skipping. Put it on the floor so I can get over. That's good. No, okay, I'm not going to even risk it. There we go. That's fantastic. Good. Now, let's see if you can understand this. Hold it nice and still for me now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Grace your end. Fantastic. And I'm going to take your end. Okay, I'm going to give it back to you. Don't worry. Don't panic. Okay, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually take and kind of cut it. Now, people always say, he doesn't cut the rope, so I'm going to cut the rope. Am I cutting the rope?
Yes.
You okay? And I'm going to take it over this side, not changing my hands or anything. Grace, am I cutting the rope?
Yeah.
All the way through?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Is it all the way through?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. I'm going to drop the rope. Okay, I'm going to put the scissors back very, very carefully in my pocket there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually tie this rope together, okay? Just check that it falls down a bit. That's fantastic. Okay. I tie this together here, and you can see I'm tying that little knot there. That's fantastic. Okay, okay. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you this rope back, okay? I want you to keep it nice and still for me this time, because we've got some little bit of a problem. Henry, you want to take that one? Grace, you want to take that one? That's fantastic. Good. I'm a little bit nearer, so I want it, no, I'm a little bit further away. I'm changing my mind all the time out there, but I'm allowed to do that, because I know what. Here we go. There we go. Now don't skip this time, just hold it nice and still, so everybody can see that. Because these are the bad things that we say, think, and do in our lives. But it's not only that, actually. It's actually some of the things that when we turn our back on God and we forget God, or we turn away from God, we call that rebellion. If you're rebellious, that means you don't really listen to the people who you're meant to be listened to. And it's also about sometimes there's things that we say, I'm going to do it, keep it nice and still, that's brilliant. I'm going to do things my way. And we say to God, I don't want your way, I'm going to do things my way. And it's a little bit like that mess, isn't it? I made a real mess there now. I've got a big knot there, and we've got a bit of a problem. I'm going to get you something from here. But before I do, let me explain it this way. Jesus say, and this is why those people were questioning their heads, how could Jesus say, your sins are forgiven? Was he God? That's a big question. Was he God? Well, Christians believe he was. But it's a bit like this. Let me explain like this. Grace, do you know each other?
Yeah, we're cousins.
You're cousins. Okay, nice. Now, I'm going to do it this way around. Now, if Gracie, if Henry came and someday slapped you, I hope you would never do that, because that's not a good thing to do. But if he slapped you, okay, so we've got three people here. We've got Henry, we've got Gracie, and we've got me, Phil, okay? And so he slapped you, so imagine you pretend you slapped my friend's hand, and Gracie, you're like this. And I went up, and I walked from Gracie, looking at the slap face, and I walked over to Henry and saying, I forgive you. Now, does that make sense? Who's the one who's going to do the forgiving? Who's going to forgive Henry? Who did Henry slap? Gracie. So, Gracie, you're the one that's going to forgive him, isn't it? It's no good me saying, I forgive you. Yeah, I haven't got slapped. But you know, that's what the story's about. Because Jesus said to that man lying down, your sins are forgiven. And they say, how can he say that? He can only say that because Jesus was God. And the bad things that we do are the same thing we do to God. And if you like, we do to Jesus, because Jesus is God. So Jesus is the only one that can say to that man, your sins are forgiven. Don't worry, you've got a great job there. Now, that's not done really, really. Let's get to the last person in the story. So we've learned that bit about forgiving. The only person that can forgive us really is the one we offend, and that is God. Let's get to the last person in the story, Jesus. Because, you know, in the story, we discover what Jesus did. I'm going to use this little scarf just to remind us of what Jesus did when he died on the cross. Now, what time of the year do we remember that? What time of the year? Can you remember?
Easter.
Fantastic. Easter. Right, you've got a really big part to play in just a second. Because when Jesus died on the cross at Easter, yeah, you can't see. We have to lift it up. Come here. We'll lift it up a little bit so you can all see. When Jesus died on the cross at Good Friday, and then he came alive again, he did that so that we could be forgiven. And he can say to us, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that brilliant? So when Ian was asking me that question when I was about 11 years old, that's when I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And he can do it because he died, friends. Even though, when you think yourself,
He was offended. He was God. All the bad things that we say, think, and do, all the times we say no to God, all the times we turn our backs on God.
Are you ready? This is your big part, Henry. Gracie, this is your big part. I want you to, two hands, get your two hands. I want you in a moment just to step back away and pull it really, really hard. Are you ready? I've got a little sneeze here. Ready? One, two, three. Fantastic. Fantastic. And we discover, that was a big tug of war. All under that, Henry. That's fantastic. We discover all that thing has gone. It's disappeared. Now, I'm going to show you something in just a second. This is going to give away half my trick. Keep it nice and still. Because I want us to understand this really important thing. Jesus said this. Which is easiest? Now, when you think of it, the easiest thing to say is, Gracie, you're forgiven. Because I can say that, because you don't know what's going on in Gracie's heart. Henry, you're forgiven. We don't know what's going on in the heart. So the easy thing to say, really, is, you're forgiven, step. But actually, just Jesus says, just to show you I can do that, he said, get up and walk, and that proves he can forgive. I said, but I want to leave you with this thought. It was easier, I believe, for Jesus to say, get up and walk. It's hard to do. And you've got to show it because he's got to get up and walk. It's easier to say that. For Jesus to say, your sins are forgiven, it reminded him of what he was going to do when he went to the cross. And how difficult that was. That Jesus would die on the cross and he would take all the rubbish of our lives. And he would take it and die for it and take it away so that we could know God. Isn't that special? Can you give my two volunteers a round of applause? Gracie, Henry, you can take a seat. Give it a bow. Watch your lace as you go. Brilliant, bow there, Gracie. And I've nearly finished. But I wanted us to remember that story. There's lots we can learn. We can discover that in our lives, we discover these things can change our lives forever. Because we remember that the hardest thing that Jesus had to do was to take my sin and die for my sin. So that I could be, as we sang together, I could be his friend. But that's what I want you to remember. These stories are not just good stories. They're stories that make a difference in our lives. And when I was 11 years old, I asked Jesus to forgive me. Because he can do it. Because he's the one I offended. He's the one I did these things against. Because he is God. You've listened amazingly well. I'm going to hand back to Ian as we carry on with our time together.